Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, to ensure that there is a little New Zealand voice out there at all times to bring you some news, some information, and a few cackles. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel, OccupyCorporatism.com, RealGorillaMedia.com. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Now,
today, as every day, there are new articles out at OccupyCorporatism.com that are quite fantastic. I'd like you to go through some of them with me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's start with natural gas. Now, this looks to be the reason why a lot of things are happening with our economy and global economies and shifting of energy sources from petrol to natural gas. The Bakken Shell oil field in North Dakota has 10 class action lawsuits filed against it by major oil companies such as Continental Resources, SM Energy, Marathon Oil. They are deliberately burning natural gas as a result of the estimated 1,500 fires that these oil corporations are facilitating when they're drilling for petrol. And they're claiming that they're utilizing inefficient pipelines. And this is a problem because natural gas is the new crowning king of energy source that we're going to be using. What's happening globally when it comes to energy is there's a shift. Last November at the Copenhagen Sustainable Conference that the UN had, they have two, one in Rio that everybody knows about, sustainable development in Rio de Janeiro. The other one is in Copenhagen, which hardly ever gets any press. And what they decided there was that the world as a whole needs to shift to natural gas. It's much more earth-friendly. It goes with their climate change agenda. They can sequester CO2 in the ground while they push through the shale to get the natural gas to come out. It works well for them, but it doesn't work well for corporations or countries that base their economy on exporting petrol, like, let's say, Saudi Arabia. So OPEC and the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency has had a very stressed relationship over the last couple of decades. And in fact, the U.S. has been under sanctions by OPEC to control the amount of petrol that we're allowed to purchase from Saudi Arabia. And this has caused over the decades a huge problem. OPEC is the organization for the petroleum exporting countries, which Saudi Arabia is one of them. And in order to get out from under OPEC's control, we need to have a new energy source. Oh, wait a minute. We've been fracking everywhere. We've got this thing called natural gas. So let's go ahead and make that the new global front for energy source. It's cleaner. It's, you know, it's got the sanctioning by the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The UN is all for it. Let's go ahead and do that. We've got carbon taxes. What was it? Al Gore was on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of nights ago, just almost frothing at the mouth, telling people that climate deniers are insane, and we need to just, you know, consider them psychologically damaged. You know,
I really don't like that. I mean, A1, it's the opposite. If you believe in climate change, you're completely insane. And well, the climate change that they push, here's the really frustrating thing: the words they use. Climate change. How could you prove that the climate never changes? Well, you can't, obviously. So if you don't believe in climate change, you're insane. Climate denier. I never denied that there was a climate. Yeah, but you deny that the climate's changing. You deny that the climate's changing. No, it's been changing for 4 billion years. Well, you know, what was the argument here? Your argument is kill the land with fracking, destroy human society, all industry, tax everybody, and surveil everything until we're all slaves or dead. Who the frack is the insane one?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Carrie Norgaard last year, she actually does reports out of Oregon State University that go directly into the hands of the World Bank and the IMF. And she's spoken at conferences for the World Bank. She came out and said that the climate deniers need to be on pharmaceutical drugs. We need to put them all away. In psychiatric hospitals, there's something physiologically wrong with them that they just don't get this.
Oh, yeah. We don't get your propaganda and your lies and your enslavement mechanisms, therefore we're the ones who are crazy. What does that say about the people that are controlled? What it says to me is that they're crazy and therefore anybody who's sane is the enemy.
Well, you know, left is right, war is peace, up is down. Yeah, absolutely. Breathing out kills everything on the planet, except that's what look at the symbiotic relationship we have to trees. They create the oxygen we breathe. We create the carbon dioxide they breathe.
And then they create fruit, and then we eat it, and then we take a dump, and they eat it.
Absolutely. And
it's
as long
the circle of life.
Now I have Elton John running through my head. But, okay, so OPEC is constraining. It's been doing that since 1973. So the U.S. says, oh, my God, we have all this natural gas. Let's start digging it up. And we are the third largest exporter of natural gas because we've been fracking the hell out of the United States. And with the U.N. sanctioning natural gas and saying that we need to cut governmental subsidies to oil companies and petrol companies, coal companies, as well as nuclear. Now, how you feel about nuclear, I'm not even going to go in about that. But the shift toward natural gas is a last-ditch effort to prop up the U.S. dollar, which is absolutely failing as the global reserve currency because it's based on debt and credit, which is under control of the technocratic elite. The OPEC is suffering because it is constrained under the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency. And places like China are saying, well, we need to have a super international currency. We need to get rid of the U.S. dollar. Chinese newspapers came out a couple of weeks ago and said that the new international reserve currency needs to be put in place. And it makes sense because China is part of the BRICS nations. They are backing up their fiat and gold, as well as other members of the BRICS nations, which is China, Russia, South America, and Chile, and many other countries. So you have all these countries backing up their fiat in precious metals. At the same time, the U.S. dollar is failing as the global reserve currency. OPEC is really having an effect after three decades or more of sanctions. And all of a sudden, we have this natural gas that is totally supported by the U.N. and totally fits the whole carbon taxing scheme, which is why Al Gore is on Jimmy Kimmel frothing at the mouth trying to get his point across, because he says we no longer have climate change. We have a climate crisis.
Whoa. Hey, hold on a second. Did you hear about the Wildlands Project, the part of Agenda 21, where everybody's going to be off the land and into these little mega cities connected by mega highways and that kind of thing, you know, Judge Dredd style?
Yes.
How exactly are you going to convince people to get off the land? Maybe a huge accident where all the water table is contaminated with unconscionable chemicals that wind up making your tap water flammable. That'd be a good idea, don't you think? Hey, everybody, your tap water's flammable. Sorry, you can't live here anymore. You're going to have to move into a slave block in the city. Here's a giant truck where you can all get onto together. Why is that... Why does that truck have manacles on the floor? Never you mind, slave.
Absolutely. So in order to keep the U.S. dollar from failing before they're ready to go ahead and drop the bottom out from underneath it, they are using this natural gas as a way to accomplish just the opposite of what I just said, which is why I'm speaking in circles.
It just keeps feeding back into itself like a snake trying to eat its own tail, sort of thing.
Yes.
And just, you know, I mean, what's the biggest source of natural gas in the United States? The politicians.
I don't know if we can run our houses on it, but maybe we could convert it.
Strap them down, put an apparatus, shove it down their throat like in The Matrix kind of thing, you know? The back of the head? Use them as batteries?
Yes, but metaphorically. Not literally.
I don't know. Maybe it would be quite funny to do it literally just for like a week or so and just go, just like battery.
Well, sure. You know, people don't realize that there are pills that have RFID chips in them, and they're allegedly dissolvable. But what they do is they turn the acids in your stomach into battery power, much like a potato battery works. So essentially, your theory is correct.
Yeah, I can turn myself into a nice walking lithium battery.
Absolutely.
Doesn't lithium make you not care about anything?
Yes, it does.
Wait a second. Is lithium the drug and lithium the element that they use in batteries the same thing?
No.
No? Are they completely different?
Well,
lithium and lithium kind of thing?
There is a base element inside it. It's the argument that GMO foods are based on real foods, so they are essentially the same. But it's not. Has completely different effects on you physiologically.
Well, especially if you're artificially created and it's not designed to be recognized by the body. The body only seems to recognize what's here naturally kind of thing, and everything else it sort of treats as a parasite or a toxin or something like that. But the problem is it can't identify it, so instead of attacking and killing the parasite in the foreign body, it winds up attacking and killing you. So you wind up killing yourself because you're full of foreign bodies. Right.
Yes. Like uranium is natural element, but I'm not going to drink a glass of it. That's why I don't take Tangy Tangerine.
Hey, you know what? there was actually a dude who was drinking a cup of irradiated water and swimming in a vat, like you know those big cooling baths that they have where they've got all the uranium rods and everything in there staying cold.
Yeah.
Dude actually swimming in that, and apparently he's fine. This is what somebody claimed to me the other day, and I was like, I can't freaking believe that, man. Is that true? Have you heard about this?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I know. I've not heard about it, but I know how the body works. The skin is the most porous element on your body, especially your feet. And toxins that seep in through your pores then go to special places in your body and remain there as they accumulate in your body, which is how parabens work. That's how you get breast cancer. As a child, your mom rubs the Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo into your head, and the parabens seep into your skin and accumulate. And then when you're in your 40s, you call your mom and say that you were diagnosed with breast cancer, and nobody thinks about the Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo that was in your head at 5 years old, and now you're 40 years old and you've got breast cancer. That's how this stuff works.
They should call them cancer and cancer.
GMOs are the same way. It's all cumulative.
Yeah. And it's not the only things that are cumulative, is it? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was having a conversation with Dr. Rima on my show, and we were talking about the advent of autism and how autism is, the effects of autism creates almost the perfect slave, because this person would not buck the system and this person would just do their job and go home. They wouldn't have an inclination to assert their sovereignty because it doesn't occur to them.
Well, I had a woman on just a couple of days ago, Christina England, who talked about this in detail, the two autistic sons. And in England, telecommunication companies actually have a large portion of their workforce that are autistic for apparently precisely that reason. They still have cognitive function, but they don't have any emotional awareness. Like, let's say you're mean to them or something like that. This is just theoretical on my part. Let's say they wouldn't get as upset with you or realize that you were being mean to them, because they wouldn't quite understand the sarcasm or the facial expression or something of that nature. So not only can you wind up having somebody who is more or less an automaton, But somebody who you can be mean to covertly the whole time and treat with disrespect, who won't even realize it.
Yes. Yes. And wouldn't that just be perfect? Get rid of the cognitive ability to... we had this discussion on your show a while back when I was discussing the different methods that they're using with super soldiers and changing the receptors, the neurological receptors in their brain, to create people that don't have empathy, that don't care about what they're doing, because they have no personal vested interest in the task at hand anymore.
Christina called this designer autism.
Yes, Dr. Rima referred to it as well.
Yeah. Well, I think they're colleagues. In fact, I'm on Dr. Rima's show tonight.
Oh, wow. Her ears must be burning.
Well, it was just a coincidence. I think might have had somebody cancel on her or whatever. I don't know, but I'll be there, and it'll be fun. Dr. Rima, truthreports.com, I believe, is the website for those who want to listen in tonight. The other thing that I wanted to branch on, like going back to the fracking, is not only does it kind of contaminate the water table and has all these chemicals and so on and so forth, illness, death, cancer, disorders, Alzheimer's, whatever, that you can really conceive of having a heavy metal and chemical contamination of your water supply covertly for an extended period of time, so it has time to frickin' accumulate in your blood, your bones, and your brain cells, you know. Kind of thing. It's quite overarching, the effect it has on it, right? And water is life, and you've got to use quite a substantial quantity of water when you're doing hydraulic fracturing, don't you? Huge amounts. Like there's this one river, like I think there's something like 90 plus fracking sites that are being authorized in New Zealand right now, right? It's a very country, and there's that many sites, it's unbelievable. And just one of these consents is going to be using like 6 million cubic liters of water just in its 5-year span of contract that it's got. That's just normal river water. It's unbelievable. You know, you're talking about Olympic swimming guys, frickin' pools, ad nauseum, just being sucked out of the environment. So that you can contaminate the remaining environment. You've got to be freaking kidding me. Oh, well, it's good for the climate, I guess. If it's not good for the environment, at least we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel. Yep, I'm just thinking about this whole contamination scare. False environmentalism, isn't that great? You can capture the moral high ground and ignore all the pesticides, GMOs, and anything else that's actually a danger to the environment, and promote only a fear-based paradigm for which you can do nothing about. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing we can do about climate change, man-made or not. There is an element warming that is attributed to man-made. Even the alleged climate deniers admit that. But there's this thing called an Icelandic volcano, and it produced more carbon dioxide than the entirety of humankind's proven existence. So if you just hold your breath for a moment, even if everybody held their breath, you know, once a minute or something like that to reduce your carbon contribution, it still wouldn't make any freaking difference as soon as any freaking earth change or volcano goes up. Yeah, all your efforts will be for naught. So don't freaking bother, okay? What's the worst that's going to happen, bro? You're going to have an ocean rise like 1 millimeter per year. I think people are capable of moving themselves at a faster rate than 1 millimeter per year. Okay? Look, nobody lives in a particular area forever. There'll be many, many civilizations throughout time that have had to move on because of environmental factors. It's called living on a frickin' planet. It happens. Just get out of nature's way. Nature's a very, very upset, vengeful wench at times. And just like every upset, vengeful wench, you better tiptoe around her very, very quietly, especially if she's pregnant. Otherwise, you lose an arm. Or be trapped under a mudslide.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I had two kids. I was never mean to my husband.
Yeah, I'm sure you thought you weren't.
I never sent him out in the middle of the night for ice cream and pickles or anything like that. I didn't yell at him in the hospital room or anything like that.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
You can ask him later. I want to bring up this topic of pre-crime. Because Eric Holder was speaking at the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and he says that it's become clear that new strategies and aggressive national response protocols must be employed to stop shooters in their tracks. And we can do this by identifying who would be an active shooter and somebody who would engage in killing or attempting to kill in a confined or populated area, as an active shooter is defined. So he wants us to be able to use all of the apparatus available, like Trapwire and all these databases, in order to figure out who's going to be the next shooter.
Let me guess.
Get him first.
Let me guess. It's going to be libertarian gun owners and returning veterans, especially the ones on antipsychotropic medication.
Yes, absolutely. That is the right-wing extremism report that was put out in 2009. And it does state that it will be a lone gunman, probably a patriot, constitutionalist, a sovereign person. That's why the police officers are being warned about sovereign citizens. And we need to be careful about the people who defended our country, because they might defend our country.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a sign that the country's taken over by criminals, isn't it? You know, cop pulls over a returning veteran, and the veteran said, "My friends died for this country. I've killed the enemies of this country. What have you done?" "Well, I sprayed mace in the face of some protesters the other day, and I tasted a pregnant woman the day before that. And I also tried out my new billet club on some school kids that were skateboarding on the sidewalk."
You know, it's funny that you mentioned pepper spraying kids, because does anybody remember Officer John Pike, who pepper sprayed a group of protesters at the University of California last year?
Was this one where there were protesters like all kind of like sitting together like in a line, and he just comes up and has a big spray can of orange mace that sprays over all of them? Or I think that might have been a Canadian protest.
No.
Is this the same thing we're talking about?
Yeah. He was just awarded $38,000 in workers' compensation for the psychological stress that he was suffering after being ridiculed for what he did.
Well, hold on a second.
Yes. So,
did the protesters get any compensation for the psychological and physical stress that he caused upon all of them?
No. No.
Did he infer any actual disciplinary measures or anything like that for so brutally and ruthlessly and without frickin' cause spraying so many people indiscriminately?
No. He received paid leave.
So let me get this straight.
Yes.
If you are a policeman, ladies and gentlemen, or a police officer, like a corporate officer, like a chief executive officer, you should indiscriminately spray people in the face with mace because they're protesting. And not only will you be given a holiday, but you will be given a huge chunk of money as well. That is an incentive, I think.
Yes. Now,
man, I could just think about it. You know, it'd actually be quite fun. You know, spray a dozen freaking hippies in the face with mace, take a holiday, and get 38 G's, mate. Imagine I could purchase even more implements of torture and crowd control and things of that nature with that kind of money that I could use on all of these dirty, filthy, marijuana-smoking hippie scum.
Oh, absolutely. So Lieutenant John Pike was compensated $38,000.
He's a lieutenant. He's got rank. This isn't just some rank and file.
No.
This is somebody with decision making ability.
Yes, and he was compensated. Yes, for psychiatric damage he claims to have suffered from the 2011 incident, according to the University of California, who paid him the money. He came to symbolize law enforcement aggression against anti-Wall Street protesters, Occupy Wall Street. Those were the kids who were sitting there, the young adults who got sprayed. They were not compensated for any damages that they incurred to their ocular cavities by having this sprayed or any bodily harm that was caused to them.
He was, my ocular cavities!
So he was suspended from his job. I have to correct myself. He was on administrative leave. He was suspended from his job and ultimately left the force of his own volition. And now he receives almost $40,000 in compensation for the stress and psychiatric damage of being outed in television and memes all over the internet for the douchebag that he is.
Yeah. Oh, poor me. I've been exposed for being what I really am.
Absolutely. Well, only in America.
Well, I doubt that very much, that it's only in America. We get same sort of stuff that here. Like, I went to this demolition once. These cops were just demolishing this church stage. And no warrants, no nothing. Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was in charge. And they just rolled in, forced everybody back, and just demolished it, right? And then the cop who looked to me like was in charge, who of course wasn't saying anything to anybody, and the cops who had no badge numbers on or anything like that, I see them again at Occupy protests, and he'd been promoted.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about here. This is the police culture. We are gods. You are slaves. We can do what we want with you, and we will. And we will get away with it. And not only that, we'll be rewarded for it. And just occasionally, the slaves will rise up, and because we'll do something that's so brutal that has to be caught on camera, because anybody who gets police brutality on camera, you search police brutality on YouTube, mate, there's hundreds of thousands of hits, millions even, on some of these videos. People are obsessed with watching police brutality videos, and that kind of spraying of the mace is very iconic in YouTube history, I believe. And, of course, it wouldn't be if it wasn't on video. So this is why I believe cops are very active now in confiscating your freaking cameras, because that's the only accountability factor that the populace has to strike back with. Well,
in some states,
like a scumbag, you're a scumbag. You're being violent for absolutely no reason. I've got a camera. This is my weapon to fight back with.
Yes, and in some states here in the United States, they are saying that it violates their constitutional rights, that citizens do not have the legal right because it violates their constitutional rights to film them. There are groups, like there's the Portland group, that every time they see a cop pull over anyone for any infraction or any police involvement in any situation, everyone pulls out their iPhone or their camera if they have it on them and starts filming it. And these cops are getting intimidated, so they're trying to say that the Constitution protects them. They're violating their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights.
No,
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You're violating their ability to violate your rights.
Yes. Yes. And they don't want that. Yeah. They don't want it. And
this
they
violates
down...
our constitutional right to violate your constitutional rights.
Yes. And then they go on YouTube and they say, oh, it's copyright infringement. We take that down. And then, you know, it says the NFL. What does the NFL have to do with a police brutality video? But, you know, that any corporation files a complaint, copyright infringement, and then it's taken down. And so they're removing a lot of these authentic police brutality films that are taken just at the spur of the moment because people actually care and want to film. Like this one woman, she was pregnant, a small woman, like, you know, 5 foot or 5 foot one, maybe 5 foot two. And they had her down on the ground, her face in the dirt. She's pregnant and she's a prostitute. So they're treating her this way. And they busted up her face. They broke her arm. They kicked her in the head. The mugshots of her after they, you know, took her fingerprints are atrocious. And somebody across the street decided to film that, and it went out on YouTube. Thank God that people are doing this. But yeah, then they get brutalized themselves and have everything confiscated because they're violating the police officer's rights.
Yeah. I think that's what happens when you realize that you're not free, I think, is when those that are supposed to protect your freedoms, you know, if you get assaulted in the street by a member of the public, I mean, you'd expect a cop to come up and help you. The unfortunate thing is it's actually far more likely that it's going to be a cop that's assaulting you, an innocent person, and a member of the public that might help you.
Yes. Absolutely. And because people think the cops are still cops. No, they are private security firms hired by your state to perform policing services. Policing services has a different definition than what we assume a police officer is there for. Essentially, the private security firm hired by your city to perform policing services is there to generate revenue for the city, to make sure that the city's property is maintained and that the citizens do not disrupt the property of the city, as well as bringing in federal law enforcement if necessary to make sure that infrastructure in that city is maintained, like your local IRS location. Then DHS gets involved with their own private little police officers that nobody knows about, but magically shows up at IRS protests just to monitor and make sure everything's okay.
This reminds me of an episode of The Simpsons. Who is it? Goons. Hired goons. Hired goons. And he opens the door. That's what the cops are now, isn't it? They're
yes.
Not but hired goons. I mean, they're thugs. And here's the thing. They've got like a height restriction as well. So you have to be big and intimidating in order to even qualify to be able to even sit the test. And when you sit the test, there's a moral side of the test and an intelligence side of the test. If you score too high a moral value, you fail. If you score too high on the IQ, you fail. So, invariably, you wind up with big, dumb, amoral characters with power, uniforms, and virtual immunity. Can you imagine, globally, what kind of abuses of power, that power, knowing who's behind those frickin' uniforms? It's too terrible to contemplate. Of course, this doesn't mean all cops are really dumb and evil and so on and so forth. Just like 99% of them. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. I'm just joking, by the way. I love you, cops. You know what I do. I love filming you and putting your faces on freaking YouTube. You scam. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel. Police brutality. You gotta love it. Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I did actually once spend a night watching reverse police brutality videos. People beating up cops. It was the most awesome thing I've ever seen. Just like cops being brutal and everything like that. And then the people just turn on them and just beat the crap out of them. And the cops just start running scared, you know, like a couple of cowardly bullies. It's like, yes, yes. It's just like, that's the day that I would feel that I'm free. Ultimately, as if I'm a victim of police brutality, I fight back and don't wind up getting charged or tasered or sprayed with mace or anything like that. If somebody actually just acknowledges that the police officer was in the wrong and I was in the right to defend myself against their brutal, vicious, violent attacks.
Oh, absolutely. I wrote an article recently about crowd psychology, because this is that's what you're talking about, as used for good instead of evil, which it normally is. Crowd psychology is a weapon, and it can either be used by us or by them. Currently, they're the ones using it. They're the ones who are controlling the temperament of the crowd by controlling what the crowd believes. As soon as people are in crowd mentality, let me explain. Gustav Le Bon is the person that Sigmund Freud and Edward Bernays based all of their work on. When you look at what Le Bon said about crowds, they go through three stages: submergence, contagion, and suggestion. At the first stage, the individual loses their sense of individuality and sense of personal responsibility. And research shows that this occurs because of the sense of anonymity to the individual that is fostered by the crowd itself. So people who are of individual mind, when they start to gather into crowds, this psychology takes over, where people, depending on the size of the crowd, would behave in ways that they normally wouldn't. Like, let's say, throwing a Molotov cocktail into a storefront and then creating a riot in downtown Los Angeles. The second stage reveals the propensity of the individual to follow the crowd unquestioningly toward a directed set of goals and emotional responses that overpower the individual's personal sense of right and wrong. So wherever the crowd goes, the individual goes, and they will do whatever the crowd has decided they're going to do. So one guy throws a Molotov cocktail, the rest of them go ahead and follow, and then all of a sudden you have people bashing in storefront windows and taking things, and they normally would never behave this way.
Well, that's because they get caught.
Yes. Well, they get caught up in the crowd. The crowd becomes an entity of its own, and so their individual sense of purpose becomes whatever the mob mentality, the crowd has decided they're going to do. And then in the third stage, uncivilized behavior takes over, and the crowd is able to control individuals' consciousness. And that's when a single person can stand up on the front of the hood of a car and start expounding on whatever point they want to make. And the crowd says, oh, yeah, let's do that. And you can have a peaceful protest that turns into a complete riot situation in the matter of minutes. This is why provocateurs are so dangerous.
Are you telling me? that with my mellow megaphone tone, I can turn a peaceful group of people who would never really do anything wrong into a violent, vicious mob.
Yes. It happens. Excellent. All the time.
I can't wait to try.
You know, it's been tried all over the world. This is what these Arab Springs are. They take an ideology. Sure, you take an ideology. Everyone is disenfranchised by their government. Everyone has grievances that they need to redress, but they don't have the ability to. In some countries, they don't have a constitution that affords them.
Whoa, hold on a second. There's a flip side to this. If the crowd can be taken control of by a nasty demagogue for the wrong reasons, then surely somebody with pure intentions and integrity can do the same thing, provided they're as good a rabble-rouser. Instead of saying, everybody, let's go and smash up the bank building, you say, everybody, do not damage anybody's personal property. You wouldn't want your personal property damaged either. Do not hurt anybody, because you wouldn't want to be hurt either. Other than that, you can do whatever you freaking well want.
Yes, and this is a weapon. Le Bon said that crowds are weapons because they appeal to the lowest common denominator within the crowd. So the morality and the cognitive ability of a crowd is dependent on what he called the least capable members. And that is the danger, the force of destruction that Le Bon said, which was the crowd itself, because individuals form this super entity that has a mind of its own. And it's usually controlled and directed by its least capable members. The lowest common denominator in the crowd is able to take over very quickly and turn a peaceful protest into a march for neo-Nazism or something that's antithetical to the point of the protest.
Does that mean that a negative vibration is stronger than a positive one?
It means that
in a mob mentality, I mean.
Well, yeah, in a mob mentality, whatever is the dominant sway of influence.
Emotion.
Yes,
that's emotion. That's what it's about. If they're all there and they're all angry, it just takes somebody. I mean, it's like the crowd and their anger is a boulder perched on a cliff. All somebody does need to do is just give it a little push.
Yes, they've done studies. The Ash Conformity Study defines this ideology brilliantly. It is the fact that they found that is the unconscious desire of the individual to assimilate into a crowd was uncovered in the Ash Conformity Study. Our inherent desire to conform to cultural norms of groups that we participate in, that we voluntarily participate in, then becomes the decider of actions and beliefs concerning the agenda of the crowd. So that's why good soldiers can perform heinous acts overseas while on deployments in the name of democracy.
If you say 9/11 was an inside job at a protest against some kind of normal government program or whatever, you get a whole bunch of these people coming up to you saying that they don't want to hear it, telling you that the rest of the crowd doesn't want to hear it either. And the reality is they're actually just a very small minority now who would come up and do that, who think that they speak for everybody, arrogantly assume that they speak for everybody. You ever said something controversial and maybe you've been talking for a little bit and people are listening and somebody comes up to you and goes, nobody's interested. You go, really? You speak for everybody? Did you pass the hat and get everybody's vote? Or did you just make up that you're suddenly the leader of the group now and you're going to tell everybody else what they can and can't hear?
Well, that, yes. And the crowd psychology doesn't have to start with the crowd itself. You can form the crowd yourself. You could be the facilitator of the crowd and completely control the crowd from its inception. If you are in a position of authority, there have been studies that were done in the late 60s, early 70s, where just having someone in a lab coat tell someone else to push a button that would shock a person on the other side of the wall with a lethal dose of electricity. That person pressed the button. The test subject pressed the button simply because they were directed to by a person in a lab coat. And these are normal, nice, everyday people who would never, they have no homicidal tendencies at all, psychologically. And yet, because they are told to, because they think that they are under authority of a person who is wearing a lab coat, which is a symbol of authority, they do heinous acts like kill people.
Yep. And the reason why that study with the electricity in Harvard was done is because they were wondering how Nazi Germany happened. How could they get ordinary normal persons to commit such genocidal acts? Well, if you've got a uniform and you tell them to do it, you can get them to do it. It's just that simple.
Yes, if you imbue into a society that these are the people of authority, when you see this symbol, that is your cue that you are in the midst of someone who has authority over a group or a crowd or a government or a county or a city or whatever. Yeah.
I've got a good idea. A suit.
Okay? Yes.
No. See, that's it, isn't it? If you want to go to a protest or a crowd and you're wearing a suit and you look incredibly respectable, people look up to you and expect you to be the leader. And invariably the people in the suits usually are the leaders, isn't it? The best dressed, okay? Connotes the most authority. Whoever been led by a protester looks like a disheveled hermit? Nobody. Nobody will follow that person.
No, it's the clean cut. Yeah, those guys are on soapboxes with signs, the end of the world is coming, and that's that crazy guy who always shows up on Sunday proselytizing on a soapbox. And we think that the guys in suits who are walking up and down on Wall Street have some sort of authority over us, so we cower to them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. You look at what a suit is made up of. Okay, what do you got? You got cufflinks, you got a collared shirt, and you've got a tie on, so... You've got a collar around your neck, cuffs around your wrists, and a leash. And you think that you're the one in control. You think that you're the one with the authority. Isn't that interesting? We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.